Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 29th of January, 2017. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week we're continuing our looking at the series on Jesus Says. And Martin Spinks, one of our elders, will be looking at Jesus Says, I Am the Way. The reading is John chapter 13, verse 31 to chapter 14, verse 14. We'll hear the reading and then Martin will start the sermon.
The reading this morning is taken from St. John's Gospel, reading from chapter 13, verse 31. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come.
A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times."
"Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going."
Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us."
Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it."
Thanks be to God for his word. And now we just pray for Martin as he comes to unfold to us the truth of the word of God. We just pray, Martin, that God will anoint your words, that you will be speaking to us what he wants us to hear. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would prepare our hearts to receive what God has for us this morning. Bless you, Martin. Amen.
Let me just put this on in case I want to do a look about. I doubt it, but it's nice to be able to do so. Just in case, is that working if I walk over here? That's fine. Well, I don't know whether it was my mistake or whether it was the prompting of the Lord, but I'm going to preach, I'm going to talk about more than Jesus being the way. If I'd read, I'm not very good at reading instructions, if I'd read, I would have said that we're talking today about Jesus being the way. But I'm not going to stop there, because I'm going to go on and talk about Jesus saying he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in a way, I don't think you can separate the three aspects. So if you're getting more than you bargained for, then that's either my mistake, or it's the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's hope it's the prompting and leading of the Holy Spirit amongst us, because he is here. The Holy Spirit is with us. He said he would be with us. Jesus said, I will send another comforter and he will be with you, just as he was with the disciples. So here we are, we're in the upper room with Jesus. Judas has just left. I'm just going to see if I can clear a little of Mark's debris. I don't know why I said that. It was a great talk there, wasn't it? I'll take his maps out of the way as well. By the way, I love maps. I love maps, but I also love my sat nav. So I'm in both camps. It's a good place to be, in both camps. But here we are in the upper room, and Judas has just left. And here Jesus is with the 11 disciples. And I just want, as we start looking at the I Am passages, I want us to be confident in the gospel. I want us to know what we believe. I want us to know why we believe it. And I believe to be confident in the gospel, it is so important to be confident in who Jesus is. He is the gospel. He is the good news. We want to be confident in who Jesus is. And I believe these passages that we're going to be looking at, the I Am passages we talk about, are going to help us to understand just who Jesus is. And Jesus says, I am altogether that which I say unto you. What greater degree of certainty can we get than that? I might even touch a bit later on. I must take my watch off, because it's so easy actually to go over time. I think sometimes when you're preaching, it's how am I going to fill the time up? But actually, you know, it sometimes works the other way. But these I Am passages, we just need to understand them. I believe that's of the Lord. We're looking at these passages together, and we just want to be, as I say, we want to be confident in the gospel. We want to be confident in who Jesus is. And in this discussion that ensued after Judas has gone out, Jesus says something to them which really startles them. He says, I am going away, and you don't know where I am going. And I think in this passage, as we shall see, we're going to be very grateful to Peter, to Thomas, and to Philip for their questions and their remarks, because the whole discussion really hangs on Jesus' answers to those, you might say, interruptions. We'll see how that works out in a minute. But first of all, it's Peter. Now, often we say, don't we, Peter is the first to speak. The first, perhaps, to make a move. Now, to Transfiguration, in the boat at the lakeside, when Jesus had risen. And Jesus here was to ask the Lord, where he is going. In verse 36 of chapter 13, he says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus repeats, he's already said before, he says, you cannot follow me. And that, of course, draws out Peter's assertion that he would never leave the Lord. He would never deny the Lord. Of course, we know how Jesus had to correct him on that, and how Peter did deny the Lord, and how Jesus did restore him. No, at the end of the gospel, again when Jesus has risen from the dead. And that then takes us into chapter 14. Let me just read these verses again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be with me where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And you can understand, can't you? Because the next person to speak is Thomas. He says, we don't know where you're going. That's pretty understandable, isn't it? Wouldn't we be saying the same thing? Don't let's put ourselves in a position of saying, we would never say those sorts of things. We would never make those mistakes. Because we would, and we do. So Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. And he asks this question, how do you know the way? How do we know the way? And based on what Thomas says, Thomas' question, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. No sat nav needed. No map. No directions. Jesus is himself the way. I just love that Jesus says he is the way. I wrote down here, Jesus gives disciples directions like no other directions. How many times have we been in the driving seat? Maybe we haven't got a map. Maybe we haven't got a sat-nav. We wind the window down. We find the nearest person who looks as if they might be local and can actually offer some guidance. Go this way, go that way, go the other way. And you think, am I going to get this right? I'm hoping that my wife, Pauline, remembers better than I do the directions that he or she has given. But Jesus' directions are simple, and I would say infallible. And the question to us today, do we believe him? Do I believe the guy who tells me, go this way, go that way, go the other way, and I'll get to my destination? Maybe we do. If we do, we might believe and we might get there. On the other hand, we might believe and we might not get there. But I can say with absolute assurance, if we believe Jesus, we have absolute can have absolute confidence that he is telling us the truth. Absolute confidence. His directions are absolutely infallible. And I want to come on to that in a minute as to why we could believe him. But let me just add one extra thing. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we look at verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to me except by the Father. Wow. You think, that's pretty exclusive, isn't it? No one comes to me except by the Father. It is exclusive. Jesus said himself, narrow is the gate, but straight the way that leads to life. Few are they that find it. We haven't got time and I haven't got the ability to go into that at this time. But what I say is the road may be narrow, but the destination is going to be glorious. Let's get hold of that. Maybe people say, well, Christianity, a bit narrow, isn't it? Don't all religions lead to God? No. The gate may be narrow, but the destination, we were talking about the destination, weren't we, earlier on? The destination, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is absolutely glorious. Do we believe that? Amen. Amen. But note also this, that Jesus says, he that, let me just get this now, he says, just go back to verse 6, no one comes to the Father except by me.
comes, wrote that word, comes. Not goes. He's not saying go to the Father this way. He's saying come to the Father. Now that to me speaks volumes. That to me speaks of one who knows the Father's heart. And I think we shall get more of that in a minute when we open up this next section of Jesus saying, he knows the Father intimately. Indeed, as John 17 verse 11 and 22 says, he and the Father are one. This whole section, we call it the Upper Room Discourse from 13 to 17, is full of Jesus revealing himself to his disciples, and we could do well to read it and reread it. Jesus is the way, but he's also the truth. And here I'm giving you more than perhaps I was supposed to, but I believe it is one and the same thing. Jesus doesn't tell us the truth. You know, we get this chap who tells us the way. Jesus doesn't just simply tell us the way. He is the way, but he's also the truth. He's the truth about the Father. Let's read some of these passages that really open this up a bit. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. In him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. It says also in Colossians 1, he is the image of the invisible God. Wonderful passages that Paul wrote. And then in John chapter 17, and again, I'm going to quote from the King James Version. We've had that this morning already, but this is perhaps, I don't know, to me, the sort of kingpin, the key scripture. For the law was given by Moses, John says, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, revealed him, or made him known. That means everything we know about the Father, that means everything we know about this destination, the Father's heart, the Father's house. But Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there are many mansions. Somebody said, that's one room for Rachel, one room for Adam, a room for Simon, a room for Julian, a room for Sue, a room for each one of us. Now maybe that's true, but God's house is going to be incredibly large and spacious. And maybe Jesus says there are many rooms, suggests that very thing. There's going to be a room for you, a room for me. And he knows it intimately, because he knows the Father intimately. But let's move on. Let's move on to verse 8, because this is where Philip comes in. We've had Peter, we've had Thomas, and now we have Philip. And Philip says in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father. We want to see the Father. Give us one writer said, one big one. How often we look for that, don't we? We just want that final one. And Jesus says, have I been so long time with you, Philip, that you don't know me? That you ask, show us the Father. Wasn't Jesus patient with his disciples? Wasn't he absolutely patient with his disciples? But we are thankful for Philip's question, because it says in verse 9, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you so long? Answer, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's just exactly what we've been saying. Everyone who's seen me has seen the Father. The things I say to you, and so on. But also, the things I do. And I was thinking about this, not just what he says, not just what Jesus does and who he is, but also the things he does. When Jesus fed the 5,000 earlier on in this book, it occurred to me, I wonder whether he thought of God feeding, what, 5 million in the desert, with the manna. And just when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, do you think he might have thought of God through Elijah raising the widow's son? It says in chapter 5, verse 19, I do always those things which I see my Father doing. And I think that gives a little indication of how close the Father and the Son were. The things that the Father did, the things that God did way back. Jesus was there, of course, we know. But those same sort of things, those same powerful things, feeding multitudes, raising the dead, Jesus was doing as well. How great Jesus is. How great he was. How great he is. Do we believe this? Do we believe him? And also, I would say, do we love him? Because really, at the end of this passage, he's talking about love. It's not just about believing, it's about loving. But perhaps we haven't got time to say much about that. Just to finish off, Jesus says, I am the life. I am the life. You know, this destination that he's taking us to, this mansion of the Father's house, with many rooms, one for each one of us, one for everyone who trusts him, there's a price which has to be paid. And Jesus paid that price for us. He paid that price for us on the cross. And unless we believe that today, and we're here, we may be here many times, but unless we believe that Jesus paid the price for me, he hung on the cross for my sins, he took the burden of my guilt upon himself, unless we believe that, in other words, unless we accept that he paid the price for me, he suffered the just for the unjust, unless we believe that, the scripture is clear. The scripture is clear. We want a place in the Father's house. And the question is, do we believe? Do we believe that he died for me? I do. I know most people here would say the same thing. Do we all believe? We can today. More could be said about this, but I think we'll leave that for whoever's going to be speaking on when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. But my desire, as I finish, is to know Jesus better. And to know the Father better. And as a church, I believe, we want to know him better. Believe him and love him. And I want to finish with a quote from Charles Spurgeon. I hope you'll forgive me for quoting a great man of God. I love Charles Spurgeon. I imagine there are others here who do as well. So let me quote this, because I think it's a lovely illustration, and I think it just bears reading. I have to forgive, of course, the language, but this is 19th century language, which I actually enjoy. And this is a most suitable one for all here present. In fact, I was going to cross that out. Let's start again. You know, if there is a ladder, it is of no use to anybody if it does not go to the top. If I want to go to the top of a house, and the ladder goes only halfway up, it is no use to me at all. If I want to go to God, I need a way that reaches up to God. Now, Christ is himself God. He will lead us right up to God through himself. That's what we've been saying today. He will lead us to God through himself. He is the way. But though it reached the top of the house, yet if it only went halfway down, I could not get there. Can you imagine a ladder which reaches the top but doesn't reach the bottom? What good would that be? To anybody. even those who've got long legs. Christ is a man just like myself, but sinless. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born of a virgin, was a sufferer of human infirmities, even as we are, and died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Oh then, look, says Charles Spurgeon, the ladder has its foot in Jesus' humanity, and again has its top in his deity. Climb it, he is a saviour for all. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who illumines it to us. Thank you for him as the power to live, to believe, to live, and to walk according to your will, according to your ways. Help us today, we pray, and this week, to follow your way, clearly set out, as we've been reminded, in your word. Guide us, we pray. Bless us, we pray, as we continue in our service now with thanksgiving. Our Father, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.